Last Sunday, Karen Eberle started off this season of Advent with a sermon titled, Is There Room for Peace? Today, the sermon is titled, Is There Room for Hope? And if you guessed that, next week, the theme is there room for joy? And then on December 22nd, is there room for love? Well, then you would be right. And then for Christmas Eve, I am planning to prepare a meditation titled, Is There Room in the Inn? I'm imagining that as we move through the traditional themes of Advent, peace, hope, joy, and love, asking these questions, is there room for each of these things, that finally we might arrive on Christmas Eve with a thought already planted in our minds about whether or not we will have room for the Christ child as well. Whether we will have prepared room in our hearts for Emmanuel, God with us. Because it seems to me in order to have room for the Christ child, we have to have made room, first of all, for the gifts and promises that the coming Christ brings, the gifts that Jesus brings. Peace in a world that is so often defined by violence. Hope in a world that is so often mired in despair. Joy in a world that is perpetually anxious and fearful, and love in a world that struggles to rise above its selfishness and dividedness. If there is room for peace, if there is room for hope, if there is room for joy, if there is room for love, if we are preparing room in our hearts and in this world for peace, for hope, for joy, for love, then perhaps we are preparing room for Jesus himself to come. For the Christ child to be born again, to be born anew in our hearts, in our lives, in our world. So today, the theme on this second Sunday of Advent is hope, and the question we are considering is this: is there room for hope? Is there room for hope in you, in me, in our hearts, in our lives, in our corner of the world? Frederick Buechner, a Presbyterian minister and writer, has a couple of books in which he takes a stab at defining, or more than defining, actually describing words from the Christian vocabulary. And as you might imagine, hope is among the list of words that Buechner tackles in these couple of books. His description of hope appears in a little volume titled Wishful Thinking, A Seeker's ABC. Based on my past experience with the way he writes, I figured that he would have something to say about hope that would very likely be helpful. But when I paged to the entry, what I found, I felt, was a little too dense. It was really a theological case for hope being rooted in the conviction that Christ conquers sin and death so we can conquer these things as well, and also some thoughts about the hope of resurrection and how that positions us for eternity, things I wouldn't disagree with, but not things that stirred me where I am right now. And when you are talking about hope, it seems to me you need to be stirred. But then along with his careful theological defining of hope, there was a little note that appeared next to the title of the entry. The note said, see also wishful thinking. So I paged over to that entry, which also happens to be the title of the book. And this is what it said. Christianity is mainly wishful thinking. Even the part about judgment and hell reflects the wish that somewhere the score is being kept. Dreams are wishful thinking. Children playing at being grown up is wishful thinking. Interplanetary travel is wishful thinking. But sometimes wishing is the wings the truth comes true on. Sometimes the truth is what sets us wishing for it. I sat with that a bit and I wondered, is that what hope is? Is it found in those places where wishful thinking tries to reach out and touch the truth? Is truth what we are really most hoping for? Hope in that understanding is something that seems to live almost out of reach. After all, truth is elusive. It seems more slippery than ever these days. So hope, as wishful thinking, is a whisper, a desire, something elusive. Is that how we understand hope? A kind friend gave me a devotional book this Advent. She happened upon it, bought a copy for herself, showed it to me. I remarked how good and interesting it looked, and next thing I knew, there was a copy on my desk along with a note of encouragement and appreciation. The book is titled Keep Watch With Me, An Advent Reader for Peacemakers by Claire Brown and Michael T. McRae. I found my gift on my desk in my office on the second day of December, so I was already behind in my reading, and I quickly paged back to the first entry, the entry for December 1st. And read a reflection by Michael McRae, who talked about his work with Christian peacemaker teams in Hebron on the West Bank, documenting confrontations between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian civilians. I was immediately hooked in because I have been to Hebron, and I have been to the little upstairs apartment that houses the Christian peacemaker team members who live there and bear witness to what is happening. So I dug in, and almost immediately, wouldn't you know, given the theme for this Sunday, I came across these words about hope. Advent is all about waiting. It is about patience, expectation, and longing. We wait in hope for the arrival of something better than what we have now. This is a joyful hope. But Advent is about ache, too. Because longing and waiting are also painful experiences for our exiled friends in prison longing for freedom, for our oppressed brothers and sisters waiting for justice, for our loved ones on the streets dreaming of a warm home. Waiting is agony. Both Advent and peacemaking are experiences of hope, and hope is the stuff of survival. It is little wonder, he continues, people who live in places of suffering are often filled with great hope and joy. As one Palestinian friend said to me, what choice do we have but to hope? The alternative is death. We hope that something more beautiful is coming because we must, because the alternative is unbearable. This work of hope is muscular work, filled with sorrow, faith, perseverance, and resilience. Now, that feels to me like something completely different than wishful thinking. Michael McRae, writing from the context of Hebron, sees hope not as wishful, but as necessary. Not as something we imagine, but as something we apply. His version of hope is gritty, determined, laced with suffering, stubborn. And what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say about hope? That's an interesting question because, at least in the case of this morning's text, the Apostle Paul's approach is one part description of where hope comes from and one part encouragement to offer ourselves to it. As if hope is something that is, of course, necessary, but it is also aspirational. We need to have hope. We aspire to have hope, and we are created as vessels of hope. And all of that, he says, is rooted in Christ and powered by the Holy Spirit. It's not just our wish or our determination. It is also a gift. Paul writes, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Then he goes on to name things like harmony and welcome and service and worship as the things that move us along in that direction, that deepen our spirits, that connect us more closely to Christ. And then he says this, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. And then finally these words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That last phrase is offered in one of the other translations I consulted this way. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That catches my attention because, again, it suggests that hope is not just about determination or wishing or having no alternative. Rather, hope is a gift that comes from beyond us. And if we welcome it, can settle within us. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we live in hopeful times. I don't think our context, whether locally or nationally or globally, is a context that invites, much less supports, a spirit of hope. And while I do think that we need to be imaginative and determined and gritty and resilient and truth-oriented and patient and muscular and thoughtful in our hope-seeking, our efforts alone are not enough. You can't make room for hope just by swearing that things will get better. You can't make room for hope by naively pretending that we do not live knee-deep in despair. You can't make room for hope by denying the present realities. You can't make room for hope by simply being more optimistic. Having hope isn't just about trying harder or being more determined. Instead, you make room for hope by making room for God. You make room for hope by keeping company with Christ. You make room for hope by offering an opening for the Spirit to move through you. You make room for hope by holding out your hands for a gift you cannot grasp. You can only catch it softly. Certainly, hope is what allows us to rise above the circumstances. I'm not saying that it doesn't. Only that the strength to do such heavy lifting comes from the power of God. And this is the reason. Hope is God's gift, and hope is God's work. Hope comes from the certainty, the conviction that at the end of the day, at the end of the age, God's intentions will win out. That's the basis of hope. God's will be done. God's way will be known. God's goodness will prevail. God's justice will roll down. God's peace will settle all conflicts. God's love will cover all things. Hope comes not from working harder to have it, but from recognizing that God's way in the world is a promise that will be delivered. So long as we believe that God intends the good, that God intends the truth, that God intends the healing of the world, we have hope. And then that hope becomes not the exceptional moment we discover, but rather something that is embedded in the rhythm of our lives. I found myself arriving at that conclusion in the middle of this past week when I made a quick trip out of town. Lois invited me to go with her for a few days to Jacksonville, Florida, while she was attending the Church Benefits Association conference. I was a little reluctant at first. My first thought is always, I don't have time. But she asked me again, and I agreed, and so it was on Wednesday, while she was in a day full of meetings, that I walked out of the front door of the hotel where we were staying in downtown Jacksonville and called for my first ever Uber ride using my newly downloaded app and went about 15 miles to the beaches, Atlantic, Neptune, and Jacksonville beaches. I decided I wanted to walk on the beach, so I had the driver drop me off at the Jacksonville Beach fishing pier. And I walked north along the beach. I walked north for 2.5 miles before I stopped for lunch and had my delicious mahi sandwich with guacamole and my key lime pie for dessert. And then I walked the 2.5 miles back. It's only about 60 degrees outside and breezy, so not as warm as I might have liked for it to be in a wintertime visit to Florida, but the beaches were nearly empty, and it was really nice. And not only that, but I felt remarkably settled down by the time I was done walking. More optimistic, yes, but more than that, hopeful. Why? It took me almost the entire 5 miles to figure it out. I think the biggest thing was the rhythm of the ocean, the crashing of waves on the beach. It's kind of musical, if you know what I mean. But not only that, it keeps going and going and going. And when I listen to the waves long enough, I feel assured that good and right things will keep going and going and going as well. I'm reminded that there are things in this world that are completely independent of any effort I might make, but that insist on blessing me. And when you get in that space, even for just an afternoon, everything feels more hopeful. So we wish, we strive, we are determined, we want things to be better, we want to make things better, but it's not all about the work. Sometimes it's about the waves, about God's goodness and grace that keeps going and going and going. There are gifts waiting for you this season. One of those gifts is hope. Watch for it. Watch for the determination of living beings to live, the determination of nature to give expressions of power and wonder, the determination of people around you to do good to each other and to be kind to each other and to offer healing to each other. And when you are able to stop and see those things that keep going and going and going, think of it as God giving you the courage and endurance to believe. Think of it as God giving you hope. Amen.